Coming up on this draft prospect review is the last position, quarterbacks. Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, and you're listening to the Draft Prospect Review, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Today is April 27th, which marks the last of this series of podcasts. Today you can hear Brian Lowe, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, and Tom Casale giving their thoughts and opinions on the last position left, which is quarterbacks.
Okay, thanks once again, Laurie. We are back with our final Draft Prospect Review. We are 48 hours now from the draft coming up on Saturday, and we're talking about quarterbacks now, and it's a position that the Patriots have taken in four of the last six drafts. Generally, later on in the draft, it's included guys like Tom Brady, who happens to be the starting quarterback now. And it's a position that, hey, the Patriots certainly aren't going to target in the first round, but it wouldn't be out of character for the Patriots to select a quarterback later on in the 2006 draft. So, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, we are talking about quarterbacks, and three guys are probably going to go in the top 10. They've been much discussed, Matt Leinart, Vince Young, and Jay Cutler. Where do you rank those three guys, and who do you think will go first into which team?
I think Vince Young's going to go first, and yeah. I think he's going to go to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Third overall?
Yeah, I think there's a split there. They love both guys, but I think in the end, I think they're going to go with Young because he's got more upside. Leinart's probably the safer pick.
And it's the Leinart connection with Norm Chow, their offensive
yes.
coordinator, is the obvious.
And
the
Young connection with Steve McNair
right.
being his
exactly.
mentor, although
exactly.
he's been locked out of the facility, so I don't know how that affects
which
Steve.
Means they'll take
a mentor from the streak.
It's going to come down right to the final minutes, I think, on that. You know, a lot of people have them ranked exactly the same.
Well, it's got to come down to the final minutes because you can't be ruled out that at one or two, whether it be the teams that currently stand there or a trade, that a quarterback could mm-hmm. go.
And you know what? The other thing that's interesting about those two guys, from my perspective, is a difference. The sheer ability, I think Young blows Leinart away.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But the mental aspect, you know, Leinart's played in a pro offense. You talked about Norm Chow. It's a pro-style offense. He's been reading defenses the way, you know, not as sophisticated as he will this coming year, but we, by all accounts, Vince Young was doing nothing like that, playing in that spread offense. Mac Brown really toned it down, gave him very specific reads to do because he was having a hard time with that. So that's the tough thing for a pro personnel guy to determine. Do you go with the sheer skills? Because I think Vince Young can throw the ball as well as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously has the size and the mobility and athletic ability to do it all. Matt Leinart, I don't think, is overly accurate as a passer. I think his abilities as a passer have been somewhat overrated. That's just my opinion.
He doesn't have a strong arm. I mean,
I
you are a little bit limited by his arm strength.
I'm not even talking about arm strength because
I think his accuracy is affected by his arm strength.
I don't think he's that accurate.
I think that's part of the arm strength. I don't think he has a strong. It floats a little because his arm isn't strong enough to kind of zing it, and he has to kind of put a little arc. He's almost like a Chad Pennington. I think he has to work harder to make certain throws than a guy like Vince Young, who just says, "There's my guy, I make the throw."
Yeah, and by the same token, I don't want to overanalyze a little, too much here too. The guy has played in a lot of big games and come up big in a lot of big games and made some big throws with
right.
games on the line. Now, we talked about that Notre Dame game. That might be an example of maybe what I think wasn't the most accurate pass. And that fourth down pass, if that was thrown properly, I think it was probably a touchdown. He made the guy kind of slow down. The ball was to the inside. It probably should have gone to the outside. Subtle little things like that in the NFL, that may have been led to an incompletion and the game is over.
They talk about Cutler having bad habits from playing on a bad team. So told you guys, I've noticed Leinart develop some bad habits from playing on a good team, meaning he just throws the ball up there a lot because he has supreme talent and he got away with it in college.
It's an unbelievable offensive line
yeah.
with a lot of guys who are going to be drafted, so there's that question too, is how much better did he look because of that line?
He also didn't do a lot. You know, people question Vince Young because he took a lot of snaps out of the shotgun. I have my questions about Matt Leinart because he wasn't a pure drop-back passer all the time. They rolled him out a lot, kind of
yeah.
had guys coming across the field, and he hits them. So there's still that question of, can he drop, take a 5 or 7 step drop, and hit a guy on a 12-yard out? And I have doubts in terms of arm strength and the fact that he hasn't done it that much.
And the thing about Young, I'll say, is if a team takes him and does what Tennessee did with McNair and lets him sit for a year or so, learn the system, then I think he'll be a much more effective quarterback. If they throw him in right away, I think the things Paul mentioned could come back to hurt him because I don't think he's ready to lead an NFL team right now, 1 year at least on the bench, and he'll be a much better player for it.
It's really going to be intriguing because you got three guys
yeah.
with different skill sets and different backgrounds and really no idea which order they're going to go in and which teams are going to go in. But general consensus is that by 10, maybe by 12, they'll all be gone. But
we know for sure, based on recent drafts and looking at quarterbacks in the first round and early, there's a good 50-50. Chance one or two of them is going to stink.
Right.
So it's a huge roll of the dice in getting this right or wrong.
There's a chance another quarterback drafted behind them could be better than
that. There's probably a pretty good chance of that.
And that's the thing.
Tom's
got his guy, and there seems to be a pretty big drop-off after these three, but a guy like Kellen Clemens out of Oregon seems to be rising maybe into the second round now. And I know, Tom, that you're a fan.
Yeah, he was my big sleeper guy, but he's shot up the draft
boards. What is it about him? What's made
him rise?
He's
big, he's strong. At the combine, Mel Kiper made a point that Jay Cutler, the fact that people are saying he was so impressive at the combine is overrated. I agree.
I heard him say that, and I totally agreed. Because we were talking about the Senior Bowl week, the same thing. He was missing these passes, and they were talking about his great arm strength.
I thought Clemens was the best quarterback at the combine by far. He made every throw. He was having a great year last year before he got injured, and I think that kind of hurt when you get injured in your final year. I think that hurts your draft stock early, but then later on in the process you start rising again. I think that's what happened to Clemens. Right. He's got all the physical abilities to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Bruce Gregkowski of Toledo is another guy that I know, Andy, you like as well. And where do you see him going?
Probably middle rounds, fourth or fifth. Me and Andy, it's funny because I saw the tape and I went over to Andy and I said, I see kind of a little Tom Brady in him. And Andy said, I thought the same exact thing, because he doesn't do anything that really wows you, but he just has that something about him that makes you like him as a quarterback.
I think he's one of those safe quarterback type guys you draft in the mid rounds, maybe a year in Europe, whatever, and you try to develop down the road. And, you know, talking to him, he has a connection to the Patriots with Nick Kazier, was his left tackle for 4 years at Toledo. So that's a little tie in here to New England. But yeah, he's, I think, one of those safe, developmental, fundamental Jay Fiedler, Tom Brady, whatever you want to call him types.
Yeah. But the other thing to keep in mind about Gregkowski is another MAC guy, Mid-American Conference, and that's kind of been the breeding ground lately, you know, with quarterbacks. So is he the next Roethlisberger, a guy that maybe we didn't know a whole lot about, and suddenly he comes in? Yeah. He's not that big. He's only 6'1", so that might be a concern. But, Andy and Tom, I know, were both very impressed with him. Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of them, to be honest with you. But just another thing to keep in mind, that conference has been a good quarterback breeding ground.
The thing you're talking about with him is that completion percentage in his career was 67, 71, 70, and 62.
Right.
So he doesn't have a cannon for an arm, right, but he completes those short to intermediate passes very well, like a Tom Brady.
Tavarius Jackson, Alabama State.
Andy, he was my sleeper. Yeah. Didn't really know much about him. He was one of the last guys on the tape we had. Just a wow kind of guy, an athlete. I read a little on him. Transferred from Arkansas when he lost out on the starting job to Matt Jones, who obviously is now a wide receiver in the NFL. But he's big, strong, athletic, good arm, the accuracy. You know, you obviously wonder the level of competition and how ready he is moving to a pro offense. But as, again, a developmental later round pick, he's a guy that I would definitely take a shot on.
Charlie Whitehurst and Brody Croyle, not to bypass them, but they're also probably before Kellen Clemens started rising, probably the fourth and fifth guys on most quarterback rankings, but still not really looked at any earlier than late second, early third, right around there. And we'll see where they end up going. But Croyle out of Alabama and Whitehurst.
I like Whitehurst. I don't like Croyle.
Yeah. I just think Croyle, I don't think he does anything great that really makes me want to draft him. I think people are drafting him on something that I don't see, because I don't like his arm strength. I don't like his pocket awareness. I just don't see much out of him.
And they win every game 10-7 because they have a great defense.
One guy we haven't talked about is the best quarterback in the draft, right?
Reggie McNeil. And I think Reggie McNeil stinks.
I think he played
for a rinky-dink offense in college. I think he has no consistency.
That would be Texas A&M.
He's got a great arm, and he's athletic. You know who I compare him to? Michael Robinson of Penn State. That's really right. I compare those two. I think they're very similar. I love Corey Chavis. I love his draft opinions, but how he can have Reggie McNeil as the top player in this draft, he must be related to him.
I was going to correct you, Andy. It was the top player, the top quarterback.
Sorry. Are they cousins, brothers?
I know you guys had a couple of guys you really didn't like. Drew Olsen out of UCLA, Paul Pinneger of Fresno State.
Those are Toms.
Those are Tom's.
Me and Andy kind of disagree on Olsen. I just think he stares down receivers and doesn't look off. I think Drew Olsen is the epitome of a great college quarterback. Mm-hmm. Paul Pinneger, I think he's the epitome of nothing. I don't think he was a great college quarterback.
I like Pinneger a little bit more than Tom.
I did too.
Pinneger, of course, Fresno State, and you know, he makes way too many bad decisions.
I think Tom might have had a few shekels on the USC Fresno game where Pinneger clearly looked like he was on the take in the fourth quarter.
I've seen him play quite a bit, and he throws into traffic so often.
That's the downside.
He definitely did that against USC when the game was on the line.
It's one of those things where it's either, you know, you have great stones if you do it and complete it for a touchdown for a big win, or you're an idiot if you do it too often and it hurts your team.
If you had to say there's a quarterback the Patriots are going to take on day two, who would you say it would be? And, you know, you can say they're not going to take one. I'm not saying they will, but over the last...
Bruce Gradkowski, if he's available, they take him.
Yeah. I think they will take one. I think that they've made it
somewhat
of a practice to try to do that, you know, fifth round on.
And right now, the Patriots have Tom Brady, Matt Cassel, and Todd Mortensen on their roster. Doug Flutie is a free agent. I just think that they'll probably bring in another free agent, and they'll probably bring in a rookie, whether it's
I'll throw a name out there.
Throw it out there.
Marcus Vick.
Marcus Vick, sixth round.
Marcus.
Highly doubtful.
I'm going to say no.
I have no interest on so many levels.
I just throw it out.
Hey, sixth round. You know, what do you got to lose?
Well, under Bill Belichick, the Patriots took Tom Brady in 2000, Rohan Davey in 02, Cliff Kingsbury in 03, Matt Cassel in 05. None of them at the time they were picked were looked at as anything more than backup number two quarterback at best. We all know how it's turned out for each of those four. Brady, of course, the starter. Cassel right now. Right now, the backup, Kingsbury and Davey, long gone.
Yeah, I just think it's good business sense. You know, you breed quarterbacks. And
pressure for them when they come in.
If you take a sixth or seventh round guy, doesn't pan out, you've lost virtually nothing. If he does pan out, it's a commodity Tom Brady you can trade for.
We see it all. Wolf was a guy who kind of mastered it.
He definitely.
It was his whole philosophy. Even if you have a starter, draft one, and then trade him for a second round pick, whatever you can get for him.
He had Brunell, Aaron Brooks, and Hasselbeck that he got quality in return for.
Well, time has not run out on the PFW Mock Draft Contest. Try your hand at the draft with the Patriots Football Weekly Mock Draft Contest and win Patriots gear. Go to PFWOnline.com now and click the Mock Draft Contest link to participate. The Patriots draft section, it just continues to be jam-packed with draft coverage. And this weekend, starting on Saturday, there'll be a lot more. The Patriots have 11 picks, and we'll have PFW in progress Saturday from 3 to 6, which will most likely cover the Patriots' first selection, 12 to 3 again on Sunday. There'll be blogs going on. There'll be audio from draft picks. Lots going on Patriots.com. It's a place to be. Patriots Today as well will be aired Saturday night and Sunday night. So be sure to check out Patriots.com all weekend long. We've enjoyed putting together these podcasts, and we've covered every single position over these last 4 or 5 weeks. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Dr. Sally, I'm Brian Lowe. Enjoy the draft. We'll see you during draft weekend. Back to you, Laurie.
Thanks, guys. That about does it for the Draft Prospect Review. Make sure to visit Patriots.com for all the updates this weekend. Thanks for listening.